Starlight shines, the night is still. Shepherds watch from a hill. I close my eyes and see the night when love was born. Perfect child, gently waits a mother bends to kiss God's face. I close my eyes and see the night when love was born. And angels fill the midnight sky, and they sing hallelujah, he is Christ. Hark ye, love come down for you and me. Heaven's gift, the Holy Spark, to let the way inside our hearts. Bethlehem, through your small door, came the hope we waited for. Was changed forevermore when love was born. I close my eyes and see the night when love was born.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Maddie, for that wonderful, wonderful song. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I think Nina is going to come, and she has a letter she wants to read. So, we have a really big hum going on.
First of all, can you all hear me out there?
Something is really.
Okay.
It's in here.
First thing I want to do before I read the letter is just give some appreciation to that do a lot for us here at the church. And the first one is Verna. She keeps us going. She's always here to help us. So I'd like Verna to come out. We have a gift from the church.
It's not this.
Not the USB, but the, yeah.
That's what it was. It was laying on that.
My cord won't reach.
Oh.
Thank you to Verna.
We love you, Verna. Thank you.
The second one is a gift from the church to our pastor, who we are so thankful for, of all he does for us and for God. So this is for our pastor. Okay, if everyone was here last week, you know that our district superintendent was here, and he met with the church board afterwards to discuss the church pastor relationship and continuation. And I have a letter here from him that I need to read to you. So here goes. It says, Dear Anna Church, First Church of the Nazarene, in accordance with paragraph 123 of the manual of the Church of the Nazarene, as superintendent of Illinois District, I, along with your church board and pastor, conducted a church pastoral review on Sunday, December 13th, 2020, concerning the continuation of the relationship between pastor and people. As part of the review, we used a format asking three questions. What to do? What do we want to keep going? What do we want to start doing? And what should we stop doing? Most of our discussions centered around the effectiveness of your current ministries the board believes should continue. I enjoyed listening to the board share about the ministries they were impacting your community and their desire to continue them. The stories shared about your grocery giveaway, your school giveaway, and your trunk or treat were inspiring. Thank you for your faithfulness to reach out into your community, making sure that you are outwardly focused, sharing the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. It will be exciting to watch the vision of Pastor Randy and the board unfold and to see all that God has in store for the Anna First Church of the Nazarene. The church board had the opportunity to express their appreciation for Pastor Randy and the leadership he is offering to the board and to the Anna First congregation by taking some time to share words of affirmation to Pastor Randy. Pastor Randy reciprocated by sharing words of appreciation to individual board members. I'm excited to announce it was an overwhelming consensus of the board to continue the current church pastoral relationship with Pastor Randy Wright for 4 more years. Good things are going to continue to happen as you all work together to glorify and honor Christ, lifting up his name and sharing his love with your community. Congratulations to Pastor Randy and Lee and to your congregation for your work to move the kingdom of God from heaven to earth. May the Lord be with you and guide you in the days ahead. Sincerely, Terry L. Armstrong, District Superintendent of the Church of the Nazarene. So we present this gift from the church. Sorry. Can't get over this. We present this gift to Randy from the church. And we're so proud today. And we're so thankful for the sunshine, for everybody to be able to come out today. Thank you.
If you didn't hear me, I said I'll open that later because I don't want to cry right now. That was loud. I am honored. It is a privilege. I am very blessed. And being a pastor, I never in my life, and I've said this before, my testimony, even up until the time when the church said, we want you as our pastor, I never really believed that I would be a pastor. It was just something that I never really gave. I always enjoyed doing ministry my whole life. I love sharing the gospel, and I always enjoyed doing ministry. But the thought of being a pastor, I knew that there is a high standard. I knew that you have to hold to that standard, and I think it's very important that we do so. But I am honored. I'm blessed. I shared with the board that I appreciate each and every one of the board members and how they respect the church. I will say that. Saying the right words, it's hard. But just the love that they have, not only for the church, but for their Lord and Savior. And I know many of you in this church feel that are the same way. And you're my family. You're my friends. I've known many of you for a long time, many years. And I just feel like I'm one of you. I'm not above you. I'm just one of you. I'm just a guy in an imperfect world trying to share the perfect love of Jesus Christ with everybody I can. And I want all of us to feel that way. I want all of us to learn and to come together and share the love of Jesus Christ with everyone. And that's my goal as a pastor. And as we move on, I want everyone to know that joy and that love. And that's what I'm going to preach about this morning. You know, we're in the Christmas season, and the thought of Christmas brings joy to a lot of us. And sometimes it's about getting gifts and presents, but there's just something about the Christmas season that you see people just, they go out of their way to do things. And I want that feeling to be all the time. It shouldn't be just one time a year that we feel like that's the time of the year that we do good things, right? It should be a feeling that we have all year long. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "But the angels said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" And in verse 15, it says, "Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests.'" You know, I don't know about you, but those words bring joy to me. They bring joy inside of me, and my spirit jumps for joy. The thought of God wanting to come and wanting to be a part of my life gives me joy. Amen? He came. He wanted to be a part, not just 2,000 years ago, but He wants to be a part of your life today, right now, every day. It gives me great hope, and it gives me a great future. Amen? We've got a great future. You know, those shepherds who heard and seen, they'd seen the amazing birth of our Savior, and they foretold that, and they responded, "Let's go see." They wanted to go see. Mary, you know, all these things that she pondered within her heart when the angel spoke to her. You know, I want that kind of joy. I desire the joy of the Lord. That's the joy that I want. This world is always looking for happiness, but not many are looking for the joy of the Lord. Maybe we need to change that today. Maybe we need to change that. Maybe we need to be a light to the community's path or to this world's path and show them the joy that they can only experience with being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? What is the joy of the Lord, you may ask? The joy of the Lord is the gladness of my heart that comes from knowing God. It's abiding in Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what it means. Can I say that again? It means abiding in Christ and knowing God and being filled with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was born, the angels announced in a proclamation of joy. It was a joyful time. They said good tidings and great joy. Jesus brings joy. Amen. Jesus brings joy to our lives. Even Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, if you remember that in the Scripture, the baby, Elizabeth's baby, leaped for joy at the name of Jesus. Amen? When Mary walked in, John leaped in the womb with joy. Amen? Anytime I think about Christmas, anytime I think about Jesus, my inner being jumps for joy. My spirit inside of me. Being in the right relationship with God will cause us, at the name of Jesus, to begin praising God. It will bring peace on earth, and even if there is no peace on earth, we see that today. I say this because it's time for the church to see and to feel and to experience this joy, to show this joy, even in the midst of trials and tribulation, even in the midst of times that we feel divided and ununited, even during that time. That's the time that we as a church need to show the joy that only Jesus can bring. Amen? The Christmas season ought to bring joy. It was not meant to be a time of sorrow. And we think about this year, you know, we wondered how Christmas was going to be, and a lot of people are not meeting with their families. Some people are, but there's some that they're not meeting together because of the fear of what's going on today. There's some families that have been torn apart because of death. I have my wife's cousin, everybody in Jack's grandson's grandmother just passed away this week. That family is torn apart. This Christmas is going to be different. I know they're not alone, but even during those times, Jesus brings joy. It's a joyful season. The wise men brought gifts, and we bring ourselves to the Savior. And He expresses that great joy in our life when we surrender it to Him. In a supernatural way, He brings joy. There is joy in the Lord. It cannot be stolen. It cannot be snatched away by circumstances. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. We have an inheritance that was given by our Heavenly Father that will not perish. It will not get broken. It can't get lost. And it can't become outdated in any way. It is the gift that keeps on giving. Amen? Joy is a part of the Spirit of God. In Galatians 5:22 it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." If we have the Spirit, we have everything that we need, and it will bring joy. It will bring joy that is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? Just like that song we sang. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the joy that I'm talking about. The disciples of Jesus, years after His birth and years after walking with Him, found joy even in being arrested, beaten, bad-mouthed, forsaken by many. They returned home, the Scriptures say this, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. Amen? You know, that's the joy. This is the joy I want to see, not only from me. This is the joy I want to experience in me. This is the joy I want to see in our churches today. This joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. This is what this world needs to see in the church. It's not doom and gloom and division and worldliness. It's joy unspeakable that only the Spirit of God can bring. Amen? You know, the joy of the Lord is a distinguishing mark of a believer. How do we find it even in the midst of our trials and hurts? We all deal with that. When we have circumstances that have tried to rob us of our joy. We don't let the devil steal our joy away is what we don't do. Amen? We can't let the devil steal our joy anymore. If you're dealing with that, if you're living with that, don't let him steal your joy. Amen? We come back to the fact that Jesus promises us joy and gladness of our heart that comes from knowing him and trusting in Jesus. We find joy with Christ abiding in us and being filled with the Holy Spirit that will give us everything we need in that times that we need it. In those times when we're going through things, he's always there. We find joy. We find Christ abiding in us. The shepherds, when the shepherds said this, they said, let's go see this thing that has happened. That was an invitation to the shepherds, and it's also an invitation to us that we must go and seek out Christ in every way. Even in a society that has no time for God. Listen to me today. We live in a society that has no time for God. It has no room in the inn for Him. We've got to find time and make room for Him. And as we seek Him, we can be assured that we will find Him. And His joy will become our joy as we seek His face and for Him to dwell in us. Amen? The Scripture says, delight yourselves in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because as you seek Him, His desires become your desires. Amen? The more you seek Him, the more you'll be like Him. Let the Scriptures sink into you when you read them. Let them sink deep into your spirit this morning. Psalm 30, verse 5, it says, for His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. I love that scripture. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Don't grow weary and lose heart. Isaiah 55:12 says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Man, He brings joy in those times when there's no joy around you. How do we find God's precious joy? How do we find this joy? First, we have to understand that joy the world gives is not the same as the joy that the Spirit gives. Worldly joy or happiness, it comes and goes. Things only make you happy for a short time. It isn't something that you can cling to when you've lost a loved one. There's always all kinds of things that happen to us. Sometimes people go through bankruptcy and losses of job and health issues and divorces, and all these things happen to people in life. But that Spirit's joy, on the other hand, can stay with you for the long journey. For the believer, the fruit of the Spirit, including joy, is like the bottomless resource. That's what God gives. He's There's no end to the love that he can bring you, to the joy that he can bring you. There's always an abundant supply. And even when it's dark, even when we're going through those dark times and when it's sad and we're going through health crises in our life or other things and there's grief and that overwhelms us at times, and it does. Remember that God gives you joy and he will bring joy to your heart and to your spirit. The second thing is we have to understand that God's joy cannot be taken away from us. Amen? It cannot be taken away from you. You might think or feel empty at times, but we need to stop living by our feelings. You may feel it. It has been snatched away from you at times, but it's not. You know, as believers, we're promised. We are promised a constant presence of the Holy Spirit. He is with you wherever you go. He lives inside of you. You are the temple of Jehovah God Almighty. Wherever you go, His Spirit lives within you. And what does His Spirit bring? His Spirit brings joy. Amen? Jesus' words in John 15:11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Amen? Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with what? Joy and with the Holy Spirit. Acts 16:34, the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he was what? Filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. When you get in a relationship with Jesus, he brings joy to your life and everyone around you. Amen? The third thing is we need to stop whining about things. We have a lot of things to whine about, and I know I've been a big whiner at times in my life. I complain, and I catch myself, and I think, you know what? I shouldn't be complaining. I shouldn't be whining because it doesn't help the circumstance, does it? It doesn't change it. Actually, it probably makes it worse. We have to learn to grab onto God's joy, just like we grabbed onto salvation. And joy is a free and perfect gift from our Savior. And we must reach out and accept that gift every day. We have to choose joy because this world will bring you down. But we have to get up and say, you know what? No matter what happens to me, I'm going to live in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to be guided by the Spirit. I'm going to take up my cross, and no matter what happens to me, whether I'm persecuted, I'm nailed down, I'm hung on a cross, no matter what happens to me today, I'm going to choose joy. Amen? No matter what you are up against, look to the Scripture. Every time I get down and depressed, I open up my Bible and I start to read. And let me tell you, that always goes away. I can open up and read in Psalms. Many scriptures. Especially when I look at what the disciples went through. Out of most severe trials that the disciples went through, joy was always the end result. Corinthians 8:2-3 says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcome the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, be joyful always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, you sympathize with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your poverty because you knew that yourselves had better and lasting possessions. No matter what you go through, Christ will bring joy in that situation. You know, all but one of the disciples, and even John was martyred, but they just didn't kill him. They all died martyrs. They were hung, they were knifed, they were thrown off cliffs, they were beat. And yet all of them, and my favorite is the story of Andrew. The story where as they drug him to crucify him, he says they preached. He was preaching to everybody around him. They couldn't get him to shut up. And he preached until he took his last breath. His statement was, I've been waiting for this time all my life. Wow. He showed his joy. So this morning, as I close today, my prayer is that Jesus restores joy in your life. The way it is intended to be given. And a life lived as a believer is full of joy. If you need this joy this morning, I'm asking you this morning to grab on to it. If you feel like you're losing it, hold on to it. Look to the Scriptures. Look to the Heavenly Father. If you're being blessed this morning, share it. Share it with somebody. Be a blessing by relationship to anyone that's put in your path. The greatest joy of all is our salvation in relationship with the Almighty God. Amen. What joy He's brought to me. A joy greater than anything the world has ever brought to me. It's not about what you have, but yet it is about what you have up there. And that's the relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything on this earth is temporal. It's temporary. Whether it's good or bad, it's all temporary. Everything here. So we must keep our focus on Jesus. Amen. We have to keep our focus on Jesus. I appreciate you. I've got something, Jack. If Jack's going to come, I got something I want to share with you that I found this week. As we close, as you guys leave out tonight, but I wanted to share it with you because I think it's important about what we're going through today. I hope you enjoyed the message of joy. Remember Thursday evening, and if you're available, we're going to have our Christmas Eve candlelight service, and I think it was a very special time last year, and I believe it's going to be good this year. Well, I know it will be. There's an actor that he played in The Passion of the Christ. He played Jesus, and he also had a TV show out. And he accepted Christ into his life, and he started speaking out against things that happened in Hollywood, and he was kind of pushed aside, and he was speaking this week, and I want to play what he said this week to the church.
Yeah, freedom was losing. We were losing our liberty. We were losing. He said that, Reagan said that détente, isn't that what a farmer does with his turkey all year long until Thanksgiving Day? What do we say to our brothers and sisters now caught behind their Iron Curtain? Give up your dreams of freedom now, because in order to save our own skins, we're just too willing to make a deal with your slave masters? Do you and I have the courage to say there is a price we will not pay? There is a point beyond which evil must not advance. He would go on to say that evil is powerless if the good are unafraid. Well, you and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth. But we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose this war, and in so doing lose this great way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those that had the most to lose did the least to prevent it from happening. Well, I think it's high time now that we ask ourselves if we still even know the freedoms that were intended for us by our founding fathers. Every generation of Americans needs to know that freedom exists, not to do what you like, but having the right to do what you ought. And that is the freedom that I wish for you. Set yourselves apart from this corrupt generation. Be saints. You weren't made to fit in. You are born to stand out. God bless you.
Wow. Thank you, buddy.
I just wanted to share that with you this morning because it's a challenge to the church in many ways that the statement that he made there was, we're not really of this world. We stand out. We're different. And the challenge to the church is to be different, to stand out for the sake of Christ and show the world, this generation, this corrupt generation, the joy that only Jesus Christ can bring. Amen? Be the church. Be the church. Amen? I love you guys. I'll see you Christmas Eve, hopefully. All right? If not, I'll see you Sunday.